This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Frances Sell. She's Assistant Director of Creativity for Peace, and we're here to talk about a play that is being performed on the 20th and 21st of November. It's called Voices from Israel and Palestine. Jonah Wynn-Linetsky is director of the play. Sarah Gminter is writer and co-director. Welcome, everybody, to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Thank
great
you.
To be here.
So how did this play come into being? What is it?
So maybe if I start with this bit, I've been working with Creativity for Peace for 5 years now. And during that time, one of the ways we've reached out to our supporters is through journal entries, sending them journal entries for our young women in Israel and Palestine. So about three times a year, we ask our participants, our young leaders, to write about their day in Israel, in Palestine, what's it like. And inevitably, most of these journal entries reflect some aspect of the conflict. And I think 2 years ago, the wife of one of our board members, who's a professional actress, took some of these journal entries and put them together in a dialogue reading, which she performed in Santa Fe and Albuquerque as a fundraiser. And they're just amazing pieces of writing. And I had been thinking, because I work with our youth and our volunteers, is there another way we could use these writing and actually bring it to the youth in Santa Fe and bring it to the people of Santa Fe to talk about what's happening in Israel and Palestine, but also look for the connections of division, of conflict in our own society, in our own lives. And Jonah had been volunteering with us for a while. And so I really came to Jonah and said, can you do something with this? So maybe I should hand over to you now.
Sure, yeah. So at that point, basically, I had been really interested in finding a theatrical sort of avenue for the amazing work that Creativity for Peace does. And really, there hadn't, other than this one performance piece, there really hadn't been much of a performance, though the arts are very significant in the organization, performance wasn't really part of that. And so so devised performance, which means creating original performances with a community, is something that's sort of a specialty of mine. So I talked to Frances about how we could take all these journals that we had and turn them into something that that would both tell the stories of these Israeli and Palestinian girls and also use local young performers to tell their own stories and to connect, as Frances said, issues of division, borders, in particular in this region, violence, and look at how that sort of ties to our own regional issues that we have here in northern New Mexico, also a very contested area. And so that's kind of how the idea initially, yeah.
And so you've got local actors. Are they are the actors who are playing these parts or reading these journal entries, are they, well, first of all, is it staged? Like, are they acting in a set and costumes and all that?
It's fully staged. So so it's not, it's a collaborative piece that is staged within sort of a more of an experimental mode. So it's not sort of like going to see The Importance of Being Earnest or something like that, where you have a perfect box set. This is more like we're using slides, music, movement, but it is fully staged. And we've been working on it for over a month now with the actors.
And what is the setting?
The setting is, it's here, it's in Israel, it's in Palestine. So we sort of jump to the different locales that our stories are from. So we're telling a variety of stories, and so we kind of jump around a little bit.
Now, what are some of the connections that you all as actors and, I mean, as theater people are making between what's going on in Israel and Palestine, what's going on in northern New Mexico?
Well, we pulled out some themes from the monologues that we already had, and then we did a bunch of writing generation exercises with the actors to pull things out of their own story. So we asked them, what is your closest connection to war? And we asked them, you know, tell us about a time that you have felt like the other in a situation, or that you treated someone like the other. And we asked them about borders, about their experience of crossing a border. And so we just pulled stories from their lives, and we would kind of look around and see what we had and pick the ones that felt the most theatrical and the most connected to the material that we already had.
So really it's a collection of voices and a collection of stories, and so we kind of grouped them around themes. Like, we found that certain themes, like, for example, the army emerged as a major theme. Borders, of course, as Sarah mentioned, emerged as a major theme. So we ended up kind of grouping them within those themes, and then finding stories and connections that our actors had here to the stories that they were encountering. And so then we basically built the performance on that.
Specifically, what are some of those connections?
Well, we have a couple of performers who are Native American, and so they definitely had a connection to having a long history and having kind of inherited ideas about different tribes that still affect how they're supposed to behave today, based on things that happened hundreds of years ago. So that was something that felt very strongly connected to some of the pieces that were about this idea of inherited prejudice and kids being taught, you're supposed to hate these people, you're supposed to stay away from these people. And then just everyone had some kind of story about a family member who served in a war and how that impacted them, or what that made them think about war, whether it was kind of glamorized or made to seem honorable, or whether they were told, do whatever you can to stay out of a war. And which is very interesting, because there are pieces that really confront the fact that, you know, Israeli kids from, you know, 18 to 21, they have to go into the army. And so then we asked our actors, what if that was you? What if you had to? What would you do? And so, you know, just really confronting those ideas from their own background, based on what they know, from what their parents have told them, from what they've experienced, you know, what kind of choices would they make if they were in these similar situations?
Wasn't Alex one of the Navajo girls, mm-hmm. who actually her grandparents, when she was a child, had just told her, don't trust the Pueblo people. Basic as that. And in Israel and Palestine, it's don't trust the Jews, don't trust the Israelis, don't trust the Arabs, don't trust the Palestinians. So there's these very fundamental divisions of them and us and the other.
And also geopolitically, something that really emerged is just that we live close to a border as well. And similar to the border that divides the West Bank and or parts of the West Bank from Israel, our border also has a large wall. And so there's some real similarities that emerged, I think, in a lot of different areas from the performers.
So the performers are very much involved in the making of the play, and it's very personal to them. They're far more than performers reading somebody else's lines.
Yeah, so, and that was mostly Sarah's job, was sort of helping nurture the sort of the connections of the text between the text that we already had and then what the actors generated, and a lot of it did come from them.
Right, and just notice, I mean, sometimes things came just from I would overhear actors having conversations with each other just before rehearsal started, and I would hear something that was like, oh, you have to have that, we have to write that conversation, we have to show people that, because they were having responses to the pieces that they had just done, and that's what we wanted. We really wanted this to be a conversation between their experience and the experience of these girls, so that things aren't in isolation. Everything is connected like a web.
It does really make you think about, when you start looking at conflicts like that cross-culturally and historically, that there are themes and kinds of conflicts that emerge all the time, every century, every year. And you start to think, you know, what is the enemy? Is the enemy that guy over there? Or is the enemy a way of thinking about people? Is the enemy our own outdated forms of conflict resolution? Like, what do you guys think about that? I mean, Sarah, you've got a degree in peace education, and you both have been deeply involved in not only theater, but thinking about war and peace.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that this is sort of a fundamental question, and ultimately, I think partly what brings the girls to do Creativity for Peace in the first place is that there is a desperate desire to figure out why we can't get past these barriers that sort of prevent us from finding any sort of lasting peace. And we do see these all over the world. I mean, we see what's going on right now in France and in Syria and in Lebanon. And so I think, it is a very good question in terms of what is the end. I mean, I think that's something that our actors have wrestled with a lot in this process, and that the girls whose monologues they're reading whose journal entries they're reading have wrestled with a lot as well, is trying to figure out, number one, what is the enemy, and then how can you get past that way of thinking? Because often I think, and Frances can speak to this, often I think when they come to do Creativity for Peace, that is the beginning of them breaking out of that way of thinking of us versus them. They start to recognize that you can't maintain that division when you meet the enemy face to face and you recognize that they're a human being with similar needs and ideas and thoughts to you.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's the kind of the essence of our work, is we're trying to build peace in the long term. It's not just about this one conflict and ending that. One of our young leaders actually said, what use are peace treaties if people still hate each other? And so I feel that there's a deep need across the planet for people to come together and take down this concept of the other, and this realize we're all in it together, and that true peace isn't just an absence of violence. True peace is about really embracing humanity and creating a world that's fair and just for everyone.
Yeah, one of the conversations that that we had during the rehearsal process that hopefully is working its way into the play is this idea that everyone is trying to survive. Everyone is doing the best that they can for themselves. And when you have people living in close quarters, like, sometimes those needs come into conflict, but nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, I am evil and I want to do bad things. Like, everyone thinks, I want to do the best that I can for myself, for my family. You know, we have to survive. And it's just when there's this grappling over resources and hundreds of years of history, that's where this idea of enemy comes out, is that if, in order for me to have what I need, someone else has to not have what they need.
Well, and also the inevitable kinds of vengeance that come when somebody you love has been hurt or killed.
Of course.
Yeah.
And a lot of the work, I think, is just allowing that reality, and it's like a wisdom of the heart that holds that and sees it and doesn't judge. And then that's what allows people to move beyond the hate and the vengeance. And yeah.
Now, do the young women who wrote the journal entries ever get an opportunity to see, like, a tape or whatever of the performance?
Yeah, we're making a video recording, so we will have... And we're going to have a few cameras and everything and some good professional editing. So we should have a nice video that we can show, and hopefully we'll have something when the girls are here so that they can see it.
I think it's important that we take it back to them as well. And one of the things we hear from our young women over and over again is, why do people 7,000 miles away care? And they get so much strength, I think, from knowing that there are people in Santa Fe who are listening to them, hearing their words, and trying to understand and support them.
So. Yeah, who may not be Jewish or Palestinian or Arab or anything else, but feel that connection for whatever reason.
A human.
Now, some of our listeners might be listening to the program right now who don't really know about Creativity for Peace. Tell us about what this organization is.
Sure. We've been established for about 12 years now, and we're fundamentally a dialogue program where we work with young Israeli and Palestinian women and bring them together to meet the enemy and the other. And our approach is very much based on the personal narrative, sharing personal stories as a way to approach the conflict and to try and understand. As our program has progressed, we realized that it's one thing to come away from a conflict and meet your enemy and have an amazing experience, but when you go back and you've changed and nothing else has, that's very different. So we set up a year-round campus support program, which has now developed into a young leadership program. And we have probably about 50 to 60 young women working with us year-round in Israel and Palestine on ongoing dialogue and leadership skills to become really what we're trying to make is peacemakers for life and creating that concept of peace from the inside out and taking it into your community.
Do you see or do you get reports of ways in which the program has made a difference?
Yes, we really do. From the very simple, we hear from the families, the parents. My daughter came home different. There's something has grown up in her, something has opened in her, and we hear stories of how young women are just peacemaking in their families, their schools, their communities. But also we have young women who are now choosing careers that they think want to make a difference in their societies, such as law. We have a young woman who's becoming a human rights lawyer. We have people doing conflict resolution. We have one young woman who wants to be the Israeli prime minister.
Oh, my goodness.
And on the other side, we actually have another young woman who wants to be the Palestinian prime minister. So we're kind of really hoping in a few years' time we're going to see those two in
at the same time.
That would
be excellent.
Because we know they'd be able to start working things out. And then we have young women who kind of talk nationally and internationally at the UN, at summits, at Davos, all around the world. So it's not just dialogue. Dialogue in and of itself, I believe, has value, but it also leads on to action, and that's important, I think.
Now, this program's been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have alumni, young women who are grown up and come back and talk about their experience?
We do. We have young leaders who come here and talk on speaking tours, usually in the fall and occasionally in the spring. Some of our young women are married. We now have Creativity for Peace babies. So we have a new generation growing up within our philosophy, which is wonderful. And also we employ some of our young alumni in Israel and Palestine. So that's another kind of concept of our leadership model, that they're taking leadership within our organization, which is wonderful.
Now, Sarah Gmitter, you have been deeply involved in both theater and peace studies.
Yes.
Did you always hope to bring those things together?
Not always. I started off as many people do, you know, as a kid, just wanting to be an actor. And just, I was one of those, like, theater kids who would audition for all of the plays and was just completely immersed in it from a very early age. And so I had a whole professional career in Chicago as a stage manager. And at a certain point, I just felt like I had reached kind of the plateau of what I could achieve as a stage manager and started looking around for other things. And I'd always been interested in writing. And so I work with a company in Chicago called Looking Glass Theater Company, and they have a young ensemble of students ages 9 to 18 from all over the Chicago area that they bring together to learn about theater, but also to devise their own pieces. So I started working with a young ensemble. And at the time I was working with them, and still to this day, there's just a terrible problem with violence in and around the schools. And there had been this very kind of high-profile tragedy of this honor student walking home from school and kind of coming too close to like a street fight that was happening and getting killed. And that kind of brought national spotlight to what was going on in Chicago. And I just felt like we have to do something. We have to respond to this because these are kids in the young ensemble. They're on the front lines of this. And so we devised a piece about conflict, the kinds of conflict that they dealt with every day and what they could do to kind of deal with that conflict, to resolve it, to ameliorate it. And in the course of devising the piece, I tried everything I could to find them people who could give them skills. So they weren't just coming out of it having told their stories. They would come out of the experience knowing some things that they could do. And it was a life-changing experience, that first show that I did with them. And that's when I decided this is what I wanted to do. I want to bring theater together with these social justice issues and help people find their voices and express their stories of what's happening to them. So that's when I went to grad school at the University for Peace in Costa Rica and got a master's degree in peace education. And the idea all along was to take my theatrical background and then all of the kind of new skills and resources that I would have after grad school and bring them together and use theater as a way to foster dialogue in communities. And really, there's just nothing quite like having, whether you're the one who's doing the telling and you're in front of an audience or you're seeing someone else telling your story and seeing an audience listen to that. It's just such a feeling of validation and of being heard, which is so much of what people want when they're in these conflict situations. They just want to feel like they're being heard, their side of the story, their lives, that they're not being reduced to a stereotype, that you know, their whole life is being seen, their whole story is being seen. And I think that's a beautiful thing that theater can do, to not just be kind of this presentational thing that we go to be entertained and then we go away and we stop thinking about it. It really can be a source of dialogue and change within a community.
And in order for that to be effective, it has to be really good. Like, the craft has to be there. If you go and see a bunch of earnest people reading badly on the stage, it's like so painful. You don't even want to think about the issues at all.
It's true. But I will also say that you can draw, I think, beautiful performances, even from amateur performers. I mean, we have some actors on our stage who this is their first time on the stage, but they are really kind of open-hearted and genuine, and they have this voice that hasn't been heard before, and I think they're doing a beautiful job. And that's something I've seen before, is also, like, you know, pulling people who aren't used to being performers, and you just give them, like, a, you know, some sense of a set of actors' skills so they have the confidence to get up there and speak loud enough and clearly enough to be heard, and magic can happen.
The play is called Voices from Israel and Palestine. It's being performed at Warehouse 21 this Friday and Saturday, the 20th and 21st of November at 7 o'clock. You can get tickets at the door, and it's actually free for students. So you can also check out creativityforpeace.com for more information. Frances Sal is Assistant Director of Creativity for Peace. Jonah Wynn-Linetsky is Director of the play. And Sarah Gminter is Writer and Co-Director. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.